Good evening. It's good to see you all out there this evening. I'm thankful for your coming. I'm thankful for those that are tuned in on live streaming. I'm thankful for your prayers for me over the years and in recent days, and I've been richly blessed. I've been able to travel a little bit, and that's been a blessing. I've titled my sermon tonight, Two Witnesses. And my thought had been that many of the core beliefs of the Church of Christ are established in two witnesses. This is not intended to be an exhaustive rehearsal of all the subjects of two witnesses, but just some plain and simple examples and their value to us. Trying to read my own notes here. Pretty bad when you can't read your own writing, isn't it? But we find that in Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, 15th to the 19th verse, the Lord talks about two sticks, stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph. We know those to be the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Those two books are to be used together to bring about the restoration of the house of Israel. Two witnesses, that we might have the completeness of the fullness of the gospel, that we might have an understanding of the plain and precious things that have been removed by that great and abominable church in times past. I hope we have all read that and know that reference, and I'm sure we do. But also in the book of the 29th chapter of Isaiah, we find a prophecy, a book was going to come forth, a book from which we'd learn doctrine, a book that we would be able to see things more clearly, that a marvelous work and a wonder was going to be accomplished. And we know that that book is the Book of Mormon, and it is a second witness of Jesus Christ. And it confirms that the Bible is true. The Bible has missed some of its clarity to me in the through translations and on purpose by that great abominable church as we talk about. But we're fortunate that we have the a Book of Mormon that brings us some of those clarities. I'm going to read from Mormon 3 on page 704 of your Book of Mormons. I'm going to read verse 30 and 31. Therefore repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which was set before you not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews. Which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you? For behold, this is written for the intent that you may believe that. So it's telling us the Book of Mormon is written for the intent that we would believe the Bible. And if we would believe that, we believe this also. And if you believe this, you will know concerning your fathers and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. In 2 Nephi 2:19-23 on page 88, it tells us something very similar. And starting with verse 19, wherefore, the fruit of my loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write. Talking about the Book of Mormon, and the Bible. And that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord. Importance here, the two witnesses, is the Jewish law required two witnesses for a person to be condemned. We read in Deuteronomy in the 19th chapter and the 15th verse, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two or three witnesses, or at the mouth of the three witnesses, shall the matter be established. In their law, they had to have two witnesses. This one couldn't say they came and you did something against them. Had to be two witnesses or three witnesses, and then they could be condemned. And we find throughout the scriptures these laws, statements about two witnesses. For instance, in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, or to the Bible or the Book of Mormon, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. We're to test all things based on those books. You know, that's a belief of the church. You know, we have that in our articles of faith, and we believe in Latter-day revelations that are in harmony with these two books. Or in accordance with them, or it's not against them. So the two witnesses are important today. There's many instances in the Book of Mormon, in the Bible, of these, and you know, we're just going to talk about a few of them. But it's important that to establish the Word of God with two witnesses. In John 10:16, it states, hopefully we all know what it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Fold, a group or a community of individuals that were there, that Christ was talking to. It says he shall bring them, and they would hear his voice. You know, most commentators, and I looked a couple of them up today or yesterday, believe that they're talking here about the going to the Gentiles. But they misunderstand the scriptures. For we know that Matthew 15:24, he answered them and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so they were mistaken. They haven't had the pleasure or the knowledge of a second witness to Jesus Christ or a belief in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read now from 3 Nephi 7, page 644. Starting in verse 16. This much did the Father command me, that I should tell unto them that other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is the Lord talking here when he's on this continent. And now because of stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my word. Therefore, I was commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing unto them, talking about when he was in the Holy Lands. But verily, I say unto you that the Father hath commanded me that I should tell it unto you, that you were separated from them among them because of their iniquity. Therefore, it is because of their iniquity that they know not of you. And verily I say unto you again that the other tribes hath the Father separated from them, and it is because of their iniquity, and they know not of them. And verily I say unto you that of which I said, other sheep I have are not of this fold. Excuse me. And verily I say unto you that ye are they which I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, he was among them. He appeared among them. He showed himself. And now, you know, he's speaking to them. They can hear him. And they understood not, for that they supposed had been the Gentiles, but they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. And they understood me not, but that I said, they shall hear my voice. And they understood me not, that the Gentiles should not at any time hear my voice, but I should not manifest myself unto them, save it were by the Holy Ghost. And behold, ye have both heard my voice and seen me, and are my sheep, and ye have numbered among them which the Father hath given me. And verily, verily, I say unto you that I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither of the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of the land round about, whither I have been to minister. So they which I speak are they which have not as heard, yet heard my voice. Neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father that I should go unto them, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore I go to show myself unto them. And I command you that you shall write these sayings after that I am gone, that if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, they which have seen me and been with me in my ministry, do ask the Father in my name, that they may receive knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, also the other tribes which they know not of. These sayings which you write shall be kept, and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, that through the fullness of the gospel, the remnant of their seed, which shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth because of their unbelief, might be brought in, or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. And then will I gather them in from the four quarters of the earth, and I will fulfill the covenants which the Father hath made unto all the people of the house of Israel. And blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me and of the Holy Ghost, which witnesses unto them of me and the Father. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful day thank you, Cody. Appreciate it. That he's going to go to the other 12 tribes, and they're going to record, and those records will come forth. And there won't be anything new because he teaches the same thing, as we know, in whatever land he's in, and he never changes. And so we're fortunate to have this witness of exactly of what Jesus Christ was talking about then. Another example would be the baptism, for example, a core belief of the church, and yet many churches in the world, you know, they have different ways in which they perform it, and who is considered a candidate, and the words that are said, and what mode they do, and I think all of us believe that the Bible's fairly clear on that. But it doesn't go to the extent as it does in the Book of Mormon, that second witness. So in Matthew 3, Jesus' baptism, then cometh. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord was well pleased. They did that to show us righteousness. John had authority to baptize. They immersed him in water. He came up out of the water and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We read in the Book of Mormon from Moroni 6, gives us a clear understanding of what, where, and how it's to be accomplished. So there would be clarity, just like it said in Isaiah 29, and that we'd learn doctrine from this marvelous work and this wonder. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, say they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witness unto the church that they truly repented of their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after they had been received unto baptism, and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. Page 161 in 2 Nephi 2, verses 13 to 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that you shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing of the Father, that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following the Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word. Behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can you speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that you have repented of your sins and witness unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that you had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Pretty clear. Pretty clear on a mode and who's to do it. Another example of a core belief that we have two witnesses for is the sacrament. There's many different ideas out in the world how that's to be able to be done, who's to serve it, what it is. Some serve water, some sprinkle, and oh, well, that's baptism, excuse me. Some churches, they come up and they get the bread, but the priest that takes the wine. I mean, it's as many different churches as they are. But there's a right way. God doesn't change. To the law and to the testimony, as it says. In Matthew 26, it says, as they were eating, Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. And now I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. We find in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Moroni, in chapter 4, and I didn't write that page down, I'm sorry. It says, the manner of the elders and the priests administering the flesh and blood of Christ into the church. Pretty clear. It's not some kid passing it around. It's exactly, you know, who was to do it. And they administered according to the commandments of Christ. Wherefore, we know that the manner to be true, and an elder or priest did minister it. And they did kneel down with the church and pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, saying, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Son, and witness unto thee, O God, body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that ye are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments, which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Concise, specific, clarity. And, you know, we know that the Moroni, in the fifth chapter, is the prayer of the wine that's very specific, too. So we have a confirmation it's established in two witnesses, you know, the manner for the sacrament. I know I went to a couple different churches before Protestant churches before I came to the Church of Christ, but And they did it a couple different ways. You know, I knew I was in a Catholic church, and they did it in a couple different ways. But we're to keep the commandments of God, not the commandments of man. You know, I thought Brother Roger did it pretty good this morning. You know, the traditions became law, and we have to be sure that we can establish what our core beliefs are with two witnesses in the scriptures, that we know of a surety that they're true. Another example is tithing. You know, I know there's some, I have been told by people that they believe the tithing is an Old Testament belief. Well, they did it, you know. But, you know, it's in our articles of faith and practice that we believe tithing, that we're to give 10% of our increase to the church. And tithings and offerings. And it explains, you know, there's a difference between the tithing and our belief to go to the general church and an offering to go to the local church or other things that we want to support. Malachi 3. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances. They were doing things that were not of him, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house. And prove me not herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer of your sakes. You shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Yet all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome lands, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful blessing. You know, he challenges us. See me, check me, you know, try me. I want to bless you. We find in Book of Mormon something similar. They didn't have the record of Malachi when they left Jerusalem. You know, they had probably through Isaiah, maybe some of Jeremiah, I guess, but they didn't have the record of Malachi, and so they didn't know about that. And so the Lord, I'm going to read 3 Nephi 11, I think. Yeah, 3 Nephi 11, 1 through 15. And so he had to explain that to him. And we have it now on record that we know that they were to tithe in the Old Testament, they were to tithe in the New Testament, and it's confirmed. And now it came to pass that when Jesus expounded all the scriptures in one which they had written, he commanded me that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. And it came to pass, he commanded them that they should write the words of the Father had given unto Malachi, which he should tell unto them. And it came to pass that after they were written, he expounded them. And these are the words he did tell unto them, saying, thus saith the Father unto Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. and even the messenger of the covenant which you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Father, saith the Lord of hosts. But who must abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. And in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come nearer to you to judgment, that I will be swift witness unto the sources. Verse 9 says, I am the Lord, I change never. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And he goes on and he repeats what I read, and it's the same thing. You know, verse 11, will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But again, he tells them to bring the tithes to the storehouse, that there might not be room enough to receive the blessings we'll receive. Another wonderful promise. Establishing that should be a belief of the church today, that we're to pay our tithes and we'll be blessed. You know, a lot of churches, they keep that track of that. Church of Christ doesn't keep track of who pays the tithes and that doesn't. The blessing is in the giving, in the following of the commandments of sacrifice. And he opens up the windows of heaven, and those of us, I know them, a lot of us here know and have been blessed by us being obedient in that. And I praise God for it. Another example is healing the sick. Administration. What it is, how, and by whom. James, 5th chapter, 13th verse. Is he among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Yeah. You know, I imagine everybody in this room has been blessed by administration, by calling for the elders, that by believing the things that the scriptures say. And yet, there's very few churches in the world today that practice that. And it's not, and they're losing a wonderful blessing. But we have this, you know, confirmed to us in the Book of Mormon, in on page 711, Mormon 4, 84 to 88. Behold, I say unto you that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted unto him, granted him. And this promise is unto all, even to the ends of the earth. Behold, I say unto you, whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted unto him. And this promise is unto you and even to all the ends of the earth. That's for us today. Come, complete faith and trust, doubting nothing, not wavering. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples, which shall tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples in their hearing of the multitude. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's our call today, to go out into the world and preach repentance and baptism. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, specifically telling them what to do, and they shall recover. Believe in Christ, doubting nothing. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubt nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. You almost want to say amen. The truthfulness. Example 6. God, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three one in purpose. You know, the Articles of Faith and Practice state that. Sometimes it's difficult to pick it out of the scriptures, I admit, but it's there. John 14:15 says, if you love me, we all know what that is, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that you may abide with you forever. So here we have Christ talking. He said, I will pray the Father, number two, and another comforter, number three. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Those of us that have been baptized, we have received that gift from God. Third Nephi 9, verse 23 and then verse 30. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for they which shall believe in their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And then in verse 30, Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given unto me out of the world because of their faith, and they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that we may be glorified. Moroni, 10th chapter, 7th verse through 12. And you know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I exhort that you do not deny the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, you deny not the gifts of God, that there are many, and they come from the same God. And they are different ways, and that these gifts are administered, but as the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, one is given the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, to another to teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And also another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he might prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and the ministering of spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages, and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man accordingly as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. Another example of a belief is that Christ is the head of the church, not man. Some churches have men in front of them. But, you know, the scriptures to us is clear. And we have another witness of it in the Book of Mormon through various scriptures. In Colossians 1, verse 16 through 19. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that he should, that in him should all fullness dwell. Ephesians 1 says, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Talking again on Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, for their husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Several churches that believe in the two scriptures that we believe and have these witnesses still believe that they have to have a man at the head of the church. And men make mistakes. And you know, that's what happened to the original church when it went into apostasy and followed the Pope, and who ended up calling himself God and taking over the church. The Book of Mormon is the reference I'm going to use. Is some might think I'm stretching it a little, but in Ephesians it said he is the Savior of the body. And 1 Nephi 7:25 says, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. The Savior is the head of the church. In summary, I tried to bring this forth to remind us of the blessing that we have in being able to establish the beliefs in at least these two witnesses and the many scriptures that are taught in them. Because we know that the Lord that never changes, and the things that he taught in Jerusalem is the same things he taught in America, and the same principles. And if and when he goes to all those other tribes, he's going to teach the same thing there, because he's not a respecter of people. We have the fullness of the gospel in front of us. And yet we believe that in the latter-day revelation and that are in high harmony, we have these two books to test all things. And you know, they work out good for us. But we have to come and place our complete trust in Christ. We have to attempt to keep his commandments. Matthew 18:16 says, but if you will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Ether 2, third verse. In the mouth of three witnesses shall these things be established, and the testimony of three, and this work in which shall be shown by the power of God, and also his word, of which the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost beareth record, that all this shall stand as a testimony against the world at the last day. You know, now that we have those witnesses and those testimonies, and we know the truthfulness of the things that are written, we're going to be judged according to the things that are written when we stand before God and the books are open. And we're going to be judged according to the things that are written in the book. You know, one of the things I like, I love the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, I hope we all read it and study it and from time to time and have a desire and make an attempt to put those things to practice in our life. You know, that we'd be humble and meek and we'd help others and all the things that says, and we glorify God, I noticed that sermon is also preached on this land. And, you know, we can read it in Matthew in chapter 5, 6, and 7, and in 3 Nephi 5, 6, and 7. And, page 642. If you turn to 642, I'd like to read some. It's right here. It's a scripture that I like to use I usually use it in the 7th chapter of Matthew and starting in the 13th verse, but this is the third book of Nephi, chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Enter ye in at that straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. We can test those things that they say by the Bible and the Book of Mormon. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit it hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you should know them. Verse 33. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Not everybody that's saying, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then when I profess them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, he's at the end of, you know, this is my boy from in this. This is the Lord is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the same in the Bible and the Book of Mormon are basically the same. And he's saying, you know, we need to do those things that he preached in that sermon and in any sermon. You know, and we have a responsibility to learn, to put them into practice in our life. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man built upon a rock, that rock of Jesus Christ. And so we're challenged there. We're challenged with the responsibility and the remembrance to know the words of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments and practice them and daily repent and humble ourselves before God that he will bless us. Hebrews in the 12th chapter says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We've got all these witnesses. We've got all these things that we have read and know. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Seeing we have so compassionate about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience, with faith, knowing that God doesn't change. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Both the two witnesses that we have, both teach that we're to have faith, hope, and charity. And it goes a great explanation of explaining what charity is in 1 Corinthians and what is it, the 13th chapter and 7th chapter of Moroni and again in the 10th. And in fact, in Moroni, it tells us we are to pray for it with all the energy of heart. It's not natural for us. You know, the brother this morning used that reference. The natural man is an enemy to God and all, always have will unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to let that Spirit work within our life. We've got these great cloud of witnesses that's all before us. And the Lord's waiting for us. He's telling us to keep my commandments. He's telling us to follow those things in the Sermon on the Mount. He's telling us to preach repentance. And he's telling us that we should witness to others the blessings that we have from God on a daily basis and by administration or whatever it is, answered prayer, and that we're active to bring the kingdom of the Lord throughout the world. And many of us are, if not all of us. And we need to pray for it with all the energy of their heart that we might have that charity, that we might be able to overcome our carnal desires and weaknesses and allow God to direct us in our life. Thank you.